coming up?
Stabbing them in the hand with a fork.
Oh, there's a butt coming.
I think there's so much to be done.
Not for me to critique the client.
Look, we've all been there. We've all been there.
Shall I just get my coat?
Opportunity to shout.
Which coin are you going to flip here?
Showing off the bra and knickers that they're wearing or whatever it happens to be.
How do you say that?
Good attempt, Sam, but neither one thing nor the other.
And now, enjoy the podcast.
How do you say that?
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 Hello and welcome to How Do You Say That, sponsored by BritishVoiceOver.co.uk. Here's my co-host, Samantha Boffin.
Hello, and here's my co-host, Mark Rice. Hello, Mark.
Now, this is the podcast that celebrates voice acting and reminds us all that there isn't just one way to read a script, there are lots of different ways.
Yes, there are. And of course, we have got a bit of true or false to start it all off. So, Mark, I once did a voiceover session in a castle because the studio was under renovation.
Oh.
Is that true or false?
Like a traitor's castle?
Well, not quite a traitor. Oh. If only. That would be a good gig.
I want to think that somewhere there is a booth kitted out in the castle, maybe in the keep or by the bailey, or I'm trying to remember from history. Yes, I'm going to say true.
No, it's false. Oh. Be good. It'd be cool, wouldn't it?
It would be. I shall send you to the moat for that. Well, here's my true or false. In one of my trips to New Zealand, well, I've been to New Zealand 8 times.
8 times?
8 times, I know. That's not the fun fact. So on one of my trips, I did a tourist-style rain dance with some Maori people, and literally as soon as we finished, the heavens opened and it poured down for about an hour. True or false?
Oh, my God, just the mere idea of you doing a dance like that in the rain fills me with joy. So I'm going to say yes, true.
It's partially true. I did the rain dance, but it didn't rain.
Oh,
right, let's welcome our special guest. It's voice actor Tim Bick. Hello, Tim.
Hello there.
Sam, let's find out a little bit more about Tim, shall we?
Absolutely. So Tim's blend of warmth, intelligence and authority has made him a trusted voice for global brands like Fiat, Microsoft and Pfizer, and broadcast networks including the BBC, Netflix and Apple TV.
Well, in addition to national TV campaigns and documentaries, Tim has brought humanity, humour and depth to multiple roles in video games, such as Warhammer 40,000, Rogue Trader, Nioh 3 and Smite. He can also be heard by his neighbours, teaching his dog to sing. Well, welcome to the podcast, Tim. Do you have a fun fact for us?
Well, how fun it is depends on your idea of fun, but it's my idea of fun, which is that I've become a bit obsessed with playing croquet.
I was not expecting that.
I have never known anyone play croquet outside of Alice in Wonderland. What happened?
Where do you play?
Where do you play croquet?
At a local club down on the seafront. I live in Hove, and there's a couple of lawns down just behind the beach huts.
How lovely. And are you brilliant at it?
Modesty forbids. I'm not bad, not too bad. I've won a few small tournaments this year. But I've only been playing a couple of years.
So let's go hooping and whooping at the first script of our show and ask, how do you say that?
How do you say that?
Okay, so I bought interesting little script along. If I asked you what it was, you wouldn't necessarily get it, but I'll tell you, it's a VR.
Oh, virtual reality.
Yeah.
But in theory, I'm still seeing animals in the same way as David Attenborough would see animals.
Kind of, but if you look at the beginnings of both of the paragraphs, that kind of feels as though you're in a different type. Oh, maybe it feels like a David Attenborough type thing. I mean, it is-ish. It's aimed at students, older students. Okay.
This is how little I know about VR. I hadn't realised that VR experiences also had the audio there as well.
No, I've done quite a few VRs actually.
Well, how Attenborough should one go?
That's always the big question on these.
Well,
I think Sam's going to go not at all.
They tend to be written in that style these days, don't they? It's become the defining factor.
And on first glance, it looks like it could read that way.
Yeah.
Is that not just us putting that on it?
Maybe.
I have to say, I don't read that as Attenborough at all.
I do.
Well, no, and that's fine. I'm not saying that I'm right. It's just that, do you always think of natural history as being Attenborough?
Not necessarily, but whenever I see a script that is anything about nature, yeah, one's brain is superimposing his voice on top of it, so it automatically does read like that. I don't know.
Yeah, interesting.
And yes, of course, I would say never try and do something in the style of somebody else, because
to emulate, no, unless the client has specifically asked for that.
David Attenborough has his very specific way of doing stuff, and he's been doing it for decades. So my instinct is that we don't do what's been done for decades.
Okay. Yes,
I suppose is where I would come to it.
Good with me.
Yeah, and me.
And also, this is doing a very different thing.
Well, let's see. Let's see what comes out of my mouth, shall we?
What do you do with it? Yes.
Let's have a look. All right. Along the edge of the sea ice, walruses forage for clams buried in the mud, their whiskers sweeping like sensors across the seabed. Ringed beard and harp seals glide through cracks in the ice, surfacing for air where the water meets frozen sky. Above us, the Arctic's apex predator, the polar bear. It depends entirely on this frozen platform to hunt seals. As the ice retreats earlier each year, that balance between predator and prey, ice and ocean, begins to fracture.
Lovely.
Very nice.
How did it feel?
I'll tell you what I was trying to do. I was trying to envisage a person wearing VR goggles and listening to it very closely and trying to be directly in their ear, as opposed to being on a TV screen or a cinema screen in front of them.
Okay.
I don't know it necessarily worked that way, but that's what I was trying to do.
If I said to you that this VR experience put you directly into a small craft and was discovering stuff as it went through, would that have made any difference?
Possibly. Maybe.
Possibly.
It may make a difference to the way that Tim does it. I don't know.
I don't know if it makes any difference.
How unfair that I get this extra info.
Well, you get the extra info, Tim. From what we said before, did it strike you as aiming too much like classic wildlife documentary?
Yeah, it wasn't Attenborough, but it did sound mostly documentary-like.
Sure.
What you did was something very nicely atmospheric, I felt.
Yes,
You did. You can imagine what sort of music might have been there.
Yeah.
Beneath it, and it did have a kind of a real Nat Geo feel to it.
Yeah.
I think.
So Tim, you've got a little bit of extra information there that it is more intimate than that, and on a craft rather than directly maybe in people's ears, headphone wise potentially, because you're in, like, being in a craft. I wonder what you're going to do differently.
Let's find out. Along the edge of the sea ice, walruses forage for clams buried in the mud, their whiskers sweeping like sensors across the seabed. Ringed, bearded and harp seals glide through cracks in the ice, surfacing for air where the water meets frozen sky. Above us, the Arctic's apex predator, the polar bear. It depends entirely on this frozen platform to hunt seals. As the ice retreats earlier each year, that balance between predator and prey, ice and ocean, begins to fracture.
There was a note of Attenborough there because you took it more to the whispery kind of read. And I like that because it worked for me on a bunch of different levels.
Yes.
But I noticed that you were questioning. So your tone was relatively questioning rather than statement. And I like that because it brought something. Mm-hmm. It made me think about it a bit more.
And there was a real intimacy there as well. I agree with you about the questioning. I like that. It kind of took information and lodged it in your brain in a different way.
Absolutely. Whereas I very much was just making statements with it.
I think the thing with these always is that you're, regardless of the environment it's going to be used in, you're trying to kind of tell a story, aren't you?
So, 100%. Yes.
So I always try to inject a little bit of emotion into it, because otherwise you're disconnected from the story and the listeners. Yeah. You know, potentially disconnected as well.
Yes, and this...
If that doesn't sound too poncy.
No. And I
love a poncy sounding sentence. It's all good.
All of this is about sort of sustainability and the way the planet is,
yes,
you know, moving towards, you know, something that's actually a danger that's happening. So yeah. I think that being emotively, emotively involved. That doesn't that doesn't work.
I like
being emotionally involved.
Ponzi from both of you. It's all good. It's my turn now.
What does interest me is that both of you read Seacraft as intimate. I'm not saying it's not intimate, but I was fascinated.
I'm seeing quite a small space.
Yeah. But the intimate read, as in, sort of almost husky, whispery, that kind of thing. That has fascinated me. That you both took that from it.
Well, I think it's because
you're thinking more tannoy.
Yeah, exactly. I was assuming that it was going into straight into somebody's headphones or earphones or something, rather than coming across a speaker.
That wasn't a word that we used at all within this. That's why I'm
fascinated. I would love to do it again as from a tannoy speaker, though. That would be more.
That would be well.
Maybe later in the wild card. Who knows what's going to happen? But you don't get to do it at this point, because at this point we have a listen to what Sam did.
What
with
I
it.
Did with so, it? Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, as I say, as we always know, this isn't necessarily the right way. It's just the way they got me to do it. So
the way the client wanted is the right way.
Well, you hope you do it the way the client wants it.
Yeah. So well, true. Yeah.
Along the edge of the sea ice, walruses forage for clams buried in the mud. Their whiskers sweeping like censers across the seabed. Ringed, bearded and harp seals glide through cracks in the ice, surfacing for air where the water meets frozen sky. Above us, the Arctic's apex predator, the polar bear. It depends entirely on this frozen platform to hunt seals. As the ice retreats earlier each year, that balance between predator and prey, ice and ocean, begins to fracture.
Forgive me, Sam, but I don't think that was 100 miles away from either what Tim or I did.
It's exactly what I said.
Okay,
I have no idea.
So that's okay.
But what's interesting is that, I mean, it may be that this sort of thing is only, you know, only has a few different ways of doing it. But what was interesting was that when we were doing it, the idea of it being intimate wasn't mentioned. Now, that's not to say it wasn't or that it isn't. It's just that that wasn't one of the things that we said. What we did discuss was, should the craft have a personality?
Right. Yes.
And then we decided that actually the personality would then get in the way. And so we didn't. Mm-hmm. We didn't do a sort of either an AI or
a cheeky little robot.
Like
You know,
and we didn't do knowledgeable robot or anything like that either. So we discussed lots of different things. But it's just interesting that intimate didn't come into it. Now, as I say, whether I did that read is, I don't know.
There was a little bit of intimacy in there, but also there was a little bit of emotion right at the end where you went, when you said, begins to fracture. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was quite serious.
Yeah. And this is it.
Like, I'm about to tell you all about planet and
that's
climate change.
That's exactly what we were doing.
Yeah.
That's exactly what the whole thing was about climate change.
There you go. Absolutely. I was trying to think of something Ponzi so I could join in with you, but I couldn't do that. It's worthwhile remembering these are real scripts we've been working on, but we've changed names and some details to avoid copyright issues. Remember, you can find both the scripts we're using today in the show notes of this episode. I'll carry on working for something Ponzi in the next bit.
Good. That's your... That's your remit. Okay. So, Tim, you've brought along... I couldn't work out whether this was an advert or part of a corporate. What is it, this script? It
looks to me like a corporate, I have to say.
It's a kind of crossbreed, really.
Ooh.
Because potentially they wanted to use it as an ad, but it was initially for presentation at an event.
Mm-hmm. But how would that work in an advert? Because they're two very different styles, aren't they?
This is more of promo in the event setting. So this is really like an announcement, a big puff for the enterprise. In that sense, the read may, and without giving you too many clues, was maybe a little bit old-fashioned. Less of the modern trend and a little bit more of the out-of-date trend.
What's the out-of-date trend?
That's as much as I'm prepared to say at this stage.
I know exactly what you mean, Tim. It's the kind of thing that you and I were booked for 15 years ago all the time.
Yeah, exactly.
All the time. And that we can pluck out of the bag like that if we're asked to, but we don't get asked to do that style as much anymore.
Okay, that didn't answer my question. That merely meant that you two knew what you were talking about. What do I understand from that?
In other words, more announcer, less conversational.
Okay.
Bigger than you would want to do it, Sam, is how I would describe that.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
You know how all auditions these days come and say, nothing at all announcery? The yep. opposite of that. That's okay. what I read into that, Tim. Are you with me on that?
Yeah. 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 Pretty much. But I think really, because they were looking to do something that would work in both environments, both
yes.
as an ad and at a live event,
yeah.
that means you've got to put a little bit of both in there.
Whereas, in fact, they should have done two different things.
Maybe. Not yes. for me to critique the client.
No, well,
Their word is law.
Their word is law. Exactly right. Absolutely. It's not my fault if they don't know what they're doing. It's all good. I know you didn't say that. No, I didn't. And we've changed the client's name, so it's all right. Does that give you some ideas, Sam?
Potentially? Well, yes, it gives me some ideas. I will attempt to do my version of that. Yes, absolutely. Okay.
Presenting Empiric and Stewart Racing. Two teamwork powerhouses focused around the same goal, to unleash the full potential of a legendary race team. Empiricon creates software that transforms teamwork and makes possible together what would be impossible alone. And today, they join forces with an icon of Formula One to usher in a new era of racing. Together, we will advance teamwork in ways never before seen within the greatest team sport on earth. This is Empiricon Stewart Racing.
That was a very determined read.
Yes.
I quite like the way you did it, actually.
Determined.
It wasn't big.
That's my note. My note is it needs to go 100% bigger.
It needs to be certainly a bit bigger.
Yeah. Yes.
But I liked the kind of steely tone that you put in there. Yeah.
Yes, and that was really interesting, because what I take from the style that you were describing, Tim, is it hits specific words at specific rhythms. There's a rhythm to this kind of read that I think, Sam, you went more modern with it. So absolutely, the read that you did was kind of halfway between actually what a client would normally ask for today and heading in that direction, and subsequently not coming up with either. That sounds weird.
Yes. Well, good attempt, Sam.
Good
but
attempt,
neither
but
one
really.
Thing nor the other.
Yes, pat Sam on the head, yeah.
I think at this point, Tim, it's always worthwhile reminding the audience that we're a first take show. This is the first take, and it never happens in a session that way.
No,
the director
not.
Would go, oh, actually, I'm thinking more like that, and then you would do a second take or a third take. And so yeah. This bit of the show is particularly unfair with that, Sam.
Well, no, because I do find it fascinating, because obviously we've been here before with reads that I've underparred, if you
yeah.
like,
yeah.
and I in my mind, in my head, I'm overparring.
You think
and,
that's big, don't you?
And I think it's
yes.
big. And then
yes.
I listen to it back and I think, God, yeah, that wasn't big at all.
Yes. Yeah.
Which is why we either need good directors, if we yep. hope that we get a good directed session.
Very true.
Or we have the luxury of being able to listen back.
Yes.
And often against perhaps even music or mm-hmm. visuals, or even if
yeah.
if we're actually reading against the music and visuals, even better.
Yes, because that you can make it as big as the music makes it, really, can't you? Yeah. Yeah.
I have listened to stuff I've done, particularly for BBC News and things like that, where mm-hmm. they want something very hard-hitting.
Yes.
And if you take away all of the props that they give you, if you like, if you take away the
yeah.
music and the visuals and the it sounds ludicrous.
Exactly. Yeah, it does. It can do.
You push against something that yeah. you don't when it's blank like that. That's not to excuse my under par read, because I am aware it's under par. But what I'm fascinated by is that in my head it doesn't feel like
didn't,
that.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
I needed a lot of support for that and still didn't get there. Marvelous.
I mean, I know what you're describing, Tim, but I wonder if I'm going to hit it because I've done 15 years of trying to get away from that.
Mm.
You know? So I
yeah.
agree. It used to be the thing that we just used to snap our fingers and get out of the bag. But let's see, shall we?
I can't wait.
We're all excited.
Exactly. Presenting Empiricon Stewart Racing. Two teamwork powerhouses focused around the same goal, to unleash the full potential of a legendary race team. Empiricon creates software that transforms teamwork and makes possible together what would be impossible alone. And today, they join forces with an icon of Formula One to usher in a new era of racing. Together, we will advance teamwork in ways never before seen within the greatest team sport on earth. This is Empiricon Stewart Racing.
Woo! But yeah, that had punch, didn't it?
That is pretty much what I expected you to do.
Oh, there's a but coming.
But, and there's nothing wrong with it, but it lent too far in the opposite direction. So okay. Sam has gone to one extreme and you've gone to the other.
I have to say, it felt like a warm, comforting blanket going around me. And maybe I lent into the warm comfort of the blanket a little too much.
But that's so exciting, actually.
Yes.
Now I am going to be fascinated to hear what you do with it, Tim.
The important thing is that Mark had a good time.
Yes.
Always. I think that's always a good idea.
It's all we want.
Especially in the middle of a directed session when there's 15 people on the other end of the call.
Absolutely. And then you sit back with a satisfied smile on your face and wait for the plaudits.
Yes,
while they all talk and go, oh, could you do a second take like
that one?
Yeah, maybe just one more take.
Look, we've all been there. We've all been there.
What I am fascinated by, and this is a serious question, you lent into... Obviously, there were loads of words in there that you marqueed and you brought out.
The one
you didn't bring out, I was expecting you to do, was transforms.
I always go with teamwork rather than transforms because in my brain, teamwork is more important than the way you get
but
there.
But the transformation is the verb. But I mean, I'm not
saying it's right or wrong, but it's just
interesting because I thought, he's going to really lean into transforms. But no.
As I got to it as well, I didn't... impress impossible as much as I should have done.
No.
And I went with alone more than impossible, but that was me doing that wrong.
Interesting note that because, I agree with you about hitting teamwork because it's a kind of recurring theme throughout the script. But also, my initial instinct was to go, possible, impossible.
Yes.
But actually, when I did it in the session, they went, yeah, sounds a bit weird we do that. Could you know?
Because
you don't say impossible, do you? You say impossible. So the stress when you say the word normally is in the middle.
Yep.
And they thought it sounded weird. So I had to drop my natural kind of, you know, alternate stressing.
So not quite as hard and old fashioned as I did it.
But I want to hear what that middle ground is.
What did you do, Tim? What kind of middle ground did you find?
Well, let's see if I can remember how I did it. Presenting Empiricon Stuart Racing. Two teamwork powerhouses focused around the same goal, to unleash the full potential of a legendary race team. Empiricon creates software that transforms teamwork and makes possible together what would be impossible alone. And today, they join forces with an icon of Formula One to usher in a new era of racing. Together, we will advance teamwork in ways never before seen within the greatest team sport on Earth. This is Empiricon Stuart Racing.
Yes, it was pulled back to put it into promo environment. I see what you mean now about, you know, what you gave them could be used for both things.
Yes, and I was basically pulling my own reins back all the way through
I could tell. Absolutely.
Yeah, go over the cliff.
There was a real gravel in your voice as well.
Yes.
That's an unfair
advantage that I've got there, I know.
Yeah, no, but it works so well.
It does work really well, absolutely, very much so.
By hitting the impossible bit, of course, you made it completely right by actually emphasising the alone bit of it.
Yes.
So in other words, we've done teamwork, but
alone.
Alone is the right thing to. Yep. I can see why it doesn't work the other way around.
Yep.
I like you, Sam. You say all the right things.
but it's this script, which looks so, if you like, typical, you know, on the page, when you scratch the surface of it and you look at the spine that goes through
it. Yeah, there's a little bit more there than you might
there
think.
There is much more there than you think.
Fascinating stuff, but let's see what else we can do with these scripts, shall we?
Let's move on.
Here's the wildcard bit of the show.
So
a chance to look at these two scripts in a different way.
Yes, so Tim, can you pick one of the scripts and give us one of us a new motivation or a new character or a new way of doing it?
I'm going to pick the nature script and ask one of you, which one shall I choose? Oh, the power. But I'd like one of you to do it in the style of an online influencer.
Which of us will get this delight?
Which coin are you going to flip it?
I think I'm going to make Sam do it. I think she's the natural fit for this.
Let us have a look. So this is the one, my script, in fact, yeah?
Yeah.
Mm. Okay.
Along the edge of the sea ice, walruses forage for clams buried in the mud, their whiskers sweeping like sensors across the sea. Bed, ringed, bearded and harp seals glide through cracks in the ice, surfacing for air where water meets frozen sky above us. The Arctic's apex predator, the polar bear. It depends entirely on this frozen platform to hunt seals. As the ice retreats earlier each year, that balance between predator and prey and ice and ocean begins to fracture.
I'm not sure that's what I'm hearing on TikTok. Necessarily.
Well, you didn't necessarily say TikTok.
No.
Well, he just said
in defense, I would say she's got the nice speeding up and slowing down in there.
Agreed. And a lot of that. Running one sentence to another. What I'm hearing more of these days is AI everywhere on both Instagram and TikTok. It's flat. It's just flat. And I think when they're trying to emulate that, when they're doing the voiceover themselves, I think have gone in the last year or two a lot flatter than that.
Oh, well, now you see, I was basing it on the stuff I get on my feed. And that is often...
And we all get different stuff, exactly.
Well, we all get different stuff. I get a lot of beauty stuff. Yeah. I get a lot of drinks. This is going to be a real insight into what I'm interested in, I have to tell you. This is, so I get a lot of fashion stuff, a lot of beauty stuff, and a lot of drinks. And they're usually people, you know, showing off the, I don't know, the bra and knickers that they're wearing or whatever it happens to be, or they're pouring the drink and they're showing you how it's done. So it's far more animated than that.
Yeah.
And I think that's what I was kind of looking at, this excitable, I'm showing you how this product works and it's really amazing. Yeah.
I recognised it. I just think overall as a trend, maybe it's going flatter than that in some areas.
Okay, so really what we're saying is that once again, I've taken one idea and another idea and not quite landed either of them.
So I think we were being very polite not saying it this time. All right, Tim, I'm going to pick one for you if that's okay.
Okay.
I would like you to be a very angry chef.
Oh, nice.
Who is in the middle of service and he has realised that his sous chef, like his second in command, basically is putting the wrong thing on the plates completely. And he is not happy. He's not happy at all. And I'd like you to do your script, the Empiricon Stewart Racing script. And I think you have a world of potential here, to be fair.
I think there's so much to be done.
Oh, my God.
Presenting Empiricon Stewart Racing. Two teamwork powerhouses focused around the same goal. To unleash the full potential of a legendary race team. Empiricon creates software that transforms teamwork and makes possible together what would be impossible alone. And today, they join forces with an icon of Formula One to usher in a new era of racing. Together, we will advance teamwork in ways never before seen within the greatest esport on Earth. This is Empiricon Stewart Racing!
Oh, I can see him getting redder and redder and redder in the face. He's going to explode, isn't he? It's like, oh dear. Yes, yes. I wouldn't have wanted to be his second in command on the back end of that. I did wonder just for a second if you were going to internalise all that anger and then it was going to explode. Ooh. But you actually had it exploding left, right and centre in terms of like the fireworks were going off.
Opportunity to shout, you know, I'm not going to turn it down.
I got the feeling that you were strangling whoever you were talking to by the time you got to the end.
Potentially, yeah.
Stabbing them in the hand with a fork.
At the very least.
With a fork, yes. I'm glad you said a fork, yes. Absolutely. So, Sam, you have to come up with one for me now.
Yes. I would like you to do... Well, I don't know which one to get you to do. I'd like you to be a dog that can suddenly speak English. That's what I want you to be.
Okay, yeah. Is the dog surprised that it can suddenly speak English?
Well, you've got your pick, mate. Knowing you, yes. I think let's do the Stewart Racing because I think the other one's too easy.
Okay. Presenting Empiricon
Stewart. Racing. Two teamwork powerhouses focused around the same goal, to unleash the full potential of a legendary race team. Empiricon creates software that transforms the teamwork and makes possible together what would be impossible alone. And today, they join forces with an icon of Formula One to usher in a new era of racing. Together, we will advance teamwork in ways never before seen. With the greatest team sport on earth, this is...
Suddenly,
I just
suddenly
you
lost
time.
The ability
oh my
to
God.
Do it just like that in your next directed session. Oh my God.
Well,
amazing. Absolutely
so
amazing.
He was certainly surprised he could speak English all of a sudden.
He was.
But there were some brilliant certain words in there really lent itself well.
Yeah, there's a lot of there were a lot of R's for you to rrr around.
That was just
wow. How strange. If you want to play along in the privacy of your own booth, dog or not, as we've said before, we've put the scripts in the show notes. You can have a try yourself.
Yes, you can indeed, if you so wish.
Play How Do You Say That?
So, Tim, I'm going to bring us down to earth with a nice tech question.
Excellent.
So, oh, super.
So let's be serious now. Serious hats on. Lots of people ask for playback. It's becoming more and more common, isn't it, to be asked for playback during a session. But not all of us know how to do that from our home studios. How do you do it, Tim?
Essentially, you just take a line out from your interface, from your audio interface, and utilise what you have on your PC, which is usually got built-in sound with little mini jack plugs that are either offer you a line in or, at worst, a microphone in. Yes. And those are inputs that, of course, you never usually bother to use because you've invested in all this expensive sound equipment. Mm-hmm. But if you take that, just all you need is a simple bit of one bit of cable, and then when you actually connect with somebody, say you're doing using Zoom or CleanFeed or whatever, instead of making the input what you normally would do, which is the microphone input from your interface, you just select the line in or the mic in that you've just plugged that bit of cable into. It's that straightforward.
Yeah, you've lost me.
Do they hear you down your correct mic?
They hear what's coming out of your normal microphone, but it's fed to the output of the audio interface.
Ah, okay.
What's coming out of the microphone is also going to the output of the device.
I have to say, if I know that this is required in a session, I will generally hire an outside engineer to do it.
I've got a bit of a bee in my bonnet about this. I have created a web page.
Ooh.
Yeah.
We'll put the link. It's in the show notes. Well, let's put the link in the show notes. So I absolutely want it there.
Okay.
There is a output jack, if you like. There's an output part of your audio interface. And I'm glad I'm asking this question because I am not brilliantly technical.
And on my particular interface, I've got outputs 3 and 4, so I don't have to unplug anything. I just leave that cable plugged in all the time.
And the good thing is, if anybody is lost, they can consult the webpage that's in the show notes and you will explain it all to them.
It explains it in massive and tedious detail, but it really is the simplest way of doing it. And the reason I mention loopback is because that is the common solution that people mention if somebody says, how do I do this? But it is usually a horrendously complicated thing to set up.
Yeah.
As opposed to just plugging one bit of cable in.
I might try that. That's a really good idea. Thank you.
It's simpler than you think it's going to
be. Yes.
Yeah,
interesting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Tim, thank you for explaining that. I don't think I had realised that about loopback. Anyway, thank you for coming on the show. I hope you've enjoyed it.
Oh, of course I have. If that wasn't clear by all the cackling that I was doing throughout.
A reminder that all of Tim Bick's details can be found in the show notes of the episode.
And, of course, the scripts are there too, and all the details about the loopback that Tim was just talking about.
Absolutely. Well, that's it for this week. Thanks again to Tim Bick, and we'll be back next week with more scripts and another voiceover guest when we'll be asking,
How do you say that? How do you say that?